around the world. You think of, okay, let's bring it down to the United States, reaching the United States with the gospel and seeing churches just like this one spread across the country. And you say, well, that can't be done today because America's not what it used to be. It's not the 1950s anymore. And we see a lot of things going on in our nation today. You watch the news and it shocks you to see what leaders in our nation are thinking and saying, how they're celebrating in New York State that we can now kill babies to the very last second before birth. Virginia talking about doing it even after birth. And thinking, how on earth can this happen in America? And of course, if we're that far along, can we start churches like this one that take a strong stand on the Word of God, that are going to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ and stand for what is right, be separated unto God and stand on the principles of God's Word? Can that happen today? Can that still go forward? Can we still see something accomplished great for the Lord today? And it can get discouraging. It can get hard. Then we look at ourselves, right? Like I can say, look at me, Rick Rust, all right? I resigned a church in Toledo. I now travel the country. I live in a fifth-wheel trailer, and I travel the country, and as I see this land, and I go place after place after place after place and see need for church, need for church, need for church. You know, when I was in Toronto, Canada, Toronto was a lot like California. It's very multicultural. It is extremely busy traffic, amen, so I understand that. And the laws and the government is very similar, all right, all of the rules and regulations and codes and everything you got to live by, very similar. But also what's very similar about Toronto area as it is here, you know, in the greater Toronto area of over 7 million people, there's about 10 churches like this one, 10. And most of those churches run about 100. And that's it. All right? And there's so much need for churches. And when you think of that great need, what am I going to do? How am I going to impact that? Now, you can bring it here to your church. What are you guys going to do? What is this church going to do? And it's easy for the devil to say to us, absolutely nothing or very little. It's going to be very insignificant. It's not even worth trying. There's not really any use to putting any effort into it. What do you guys think you're going to do? What are you going to accomplish? When it hasn't been accomplished over the years, you think you're going to do it today. And the devil wants us to just stay in that rut. Just stay, keep going and getting by and hanging on till Jesus comes. Amen. And just doing our part and then go home to be with the Lord and call it a day. But you know, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus Christ here is speaking to Peter, and you all know this verse. He says to Peter, he says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, I have only spoken to your pastor a few times. I don't know your pastor closely or intimately, all right? But I know what it's like to be a pastor. I was a pastor for 20 years, and I get it sometimes, that burden that comes upon you, that overwhelms you, that gives you that thought of saying, I must do something. I must build something here, because if I don't see something built here, it might not go on. It might not last. I have got to accomplish something in my ministry, and we get that sight going. But then the Holy Spirit has to come along and remind us and encourage us and share with us again that who's going to build the church? Jesus Christ said he would build his church. Now, we think of how tough it is in the United States of America today, and yes, it might be a little harder today than it was 50 years ago or 60 years ago to start churches or to see churches get into buildings and so forth. But yet God is still working. I was just talking to a pastor today in California. This Seventh-day Adventist shut down in town. Praise the Lord. And they have a building. And he says, I put in a ridiculously low number, 5 acres, all of this building, 6,500 square foot building, 5 acres. He put in a bid of $150,000. You think he got that? He did. Your pastor might be getting a phone call. Can you help pay for it? But he got it. All right. Hallelujah. All right. And see, again, Jesus Christ said, listen, he's going to build his church. Now, who would have thought you could get 5 acres and 6,500 square feet in California for $150,000? All right. Well, it happened this week. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's exciting. But Jesus Christ said that he would build his church. So what is it that we need individually? What do we need as families today? What do we need as a church today? What do you need as a local church today that's going to help us see something accomplished? Well, before we get into our main text, I want to read one more passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible. And see, we come up with all of our excuses. Well, you know, today's a different day, and it's so much harder today. And, you know, this whole thing about millennials, you know, the millennials this and the millennials that and all of this stuff. And we come up with all of our excuses why things can't happen today. We come up with all of our excuses of how buildings are expensive and the laws and the regulations and how culture and society is against us. Aren't you disappointed that we're not living in the day like the Apostle Paul, where everybody loved Christians and the government just blessed anybody who wanted to start a church? No, that wasn't like that in Paul's day, man. They were persecuted, stoned. He had to leave a city, being lowered off the walls on a basket, and you know, he was in prison. The guy, I don't know a preacher who's been through what the Apostle Paul has. I don't know one preacher in the United States of America who's ever had to go through any of that stuff, all right? Now, I know guys who've been hit, all right, by somebody. I know people who've had doors slammed in their face. Ooh, you know, we call that great persecution of the church today, right? But we're not living in the days like the Apostle Paul, but yet we come up with all of our excuses why it can't be done today. And we come up with all of our excuses why soul winning doesn't work today. So I'm not going to go soul winning in my church. I'm not going to participate in that because it really doesn't do anything today. Well, you know why it doesn't do anything today? Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we're going through the motions. We're going through the actions. We're doing what our pastor says because, you know, we got to do that because if you don't come soul winning, if you don't do this, you don't do that, your pastor might call you up and ask you what you're doing. And so for that reason alone, you're going to go out and do something. But you know in your heart it's not really going to do anything. You know in your heart you can't really see people saved today and see the church grow and see the church go forward and see churches being started all over this part of the of California. We know it can't happen today, and the reason that we keep saying that is the reason why it's not happening today, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Jesus Christ said he would build his church. Each local church, all right? We all understand the definition of church here. I don't need to spend an evening discussing that, hopefully. Amen, you all understand that. And so each local church, Jesus Christ has promised that he would build that. He would take care of that. And so we just need to put our faith and dependence upon Almighty God, that Almighty God can accomplish something through his church even today in the day and age that we live. Now let's look at our text here in Galatians chapter number 3. See, the problem that we face today is that we do a lot of things through self-dependence. Amen. Bless God, we're Americans. And, you know, a lot of people in this country have been in the military and have been taught, you know, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? Us older generation remember the Duke, right? Watching John Wayne on TV and all of this stuff, right? And everybody's your own man. And, you know, if somebody comes up to you and says, here, let me give you a gift card to take your wife out for dinner. I don't need no stinking gift card. I can take care of myself. I can take care of my own family. I can take care of my wife. I don't need no help. And we have that self-dependence. Now, listen, I understand we got to have some backbone. I understand we have to have some drive. I get all of that stuff. All right, and it's important. I don't think we just should be laying on the couch hoping that Jesus will do something through our lives. All right, we got to have a little bit more drive in it than that. But we have this mentality that I can change. And because we have that mentality that I can change, we make decisions. And some of you older folks remember the days when the altars used to be filled. Teenagers, it used to be almost after every service that people come forward. Not just come forward, they'd be weeping. They'd be bawling. And they'd be crying out to God and asking God to help them. And asking God to change them. And asking God to help them make decisions in their lives that will honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen that over the years. We still see that today, right? Teenagers go out to camp, summer camp. They come back from summer camp. What do? They get up here and give testimonies, right? And they share their testimony. And remember back in the day when they broke records and threw them in the fires after teen camp? And then it was cassettes were snapped, right? And then CDs that were harder. Now it's not as cool. They delete their playlist. It's all they can do. And they won't throw their phone in the fire. I guarantee you that. All right? That's not happening, all right? And, teenagers make decisions. They get up here and they say, I'm going to love my parents more. I'm going to serve God more. I'm going to read my Bible every day. And what do you guys do? Yeah, sure they will. Yeah, how long is that going to last? I give that kid 3 weeks. Right? That's what we do. And why do we do that? Because we have a self-dependence. And where do we get that from? That defeat from? Because we have come before in an altar and said, I'm going to read my Bible every day for the next year. And guess what? We went and sat down and we lasted 3 weeks. And we stopped. I'm going to start coming faithfully soul winning. And you did for a few months and then you stopped. And we kept doing that over and over and over again. And because we kept doing that and kept failing, guess what we stopped doing? Coming forward, making decisions, getting things right, changing. You know, the church that I was saved and trained in, it was a great church. You would have loved this church. You could retire from God at the age of 19. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. What happened was, they had this saying all the time, let the teens do it. Amen. The teenagers, you guys should do it. You guys can do everything, all right? And I'm not against teenagers doing things, all right? But the Bible does say they're supposed to do it and follow the examples of you folks over here, all right? So you don't just say, you know, at age 19, I'm done. We had a church orchestra, and at age 19, people would stop playing in the orchestra. That was only for the teenagers. And that's how it was just expected. So at age 19, you could literally retire from God and just attend service, amen? And the teenagers could do everything, all right? And how terrible is that, amen? By age 19, you don't have to do anything for God again. Just show up, all right? That's it. And what a sad thing. But again, it's that self-dependence. And you know where self-dependence leads us every time? To failure and to defeat. And so what do we need? We need a dependence by faith on Almighty God. Does that mean you're not going to slip and fall? Of course not. But we need that dependence, that faith. Let's look at some principles here in this passage of Scripture here in Galatians. We must have faith to access the power of God to do great things for Him. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 2. This only, what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Theology question for you here tonight. All right, I'm going to put your pastor's teaching for the last several years on the line. Are you saved by faith or by works? Faith, praise the Lord. All right, if your pastor watches this later, he'll be excited to know you got this. All right, could you imagine if I got up here tonight and I started teaching that if you are a good person and if you work hard and you give money to this church and you faithfully serve God and your good works at the end of your days outweigh your bad works, you can go to heaven. I know what Pastor Son over here would be thinking. Oh, how do I get this guy off the platform, all right? All right. And when the pastor gets back, he'd be calling all the preachers that I know in California saying, don't have this guy in, all right? It wouldn't be a good day. You'd be very upset if I was teaching that we got saved by our good works. We're saved by faith and faith only. We understand that, right? I came to that realization. See, when I was 16 is when I got saved. And at age 16, when you're a teenager, no offense, I was a teenager. I'm telling you what I did when I was 16. I was so arrogant to think that I came up with my own system of theology, my own way to go to heaven. And I was the only one to come up with this, and that my way to go to heaven was if my good works outweighed my bad works, I'd make it to heaven. I thought I was the first one to ever come up with that. All right. You know what? Most of the world believes that. All right. So I was not the first one to come up with that system of theology. All right. And somebody shared with me the gospel. And you know what? I came to a point in my life where I realized that my sin was going to lead me to hell. And that I needed to repent of my sin and by faith trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And at that point, I believed by faith that I was forgiven of all of my sins. Amen. My heart is made white as snow. I become a child of God, joint heirs. Amen. I'm on my way to heaven when I leave this earth. That Jesus Christ, as I speak, is preparing a mansion for me. Up in heaven, amen? I'm hoping it's still just in the foundation level, all right? I hope they're not just about to put the last nail in it, but that's in the Lord's hands, amen? But he's building a mansion for me. I am going to walk the street of gold. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. How do I know that? Well, the Bible tells me that, but I have never had anybody go there and come back and say, yep, it's real. I haven't had that happen yet. Right? Jesus Christ has not chosen to zip me up there and show me everything and so I can come back and say, yep, I have been there. I know for sure that that's what's going to happen. How do I know this? By faith. Amen. The only way that we can access heaven is by faith. We put our faith in dependence. I was told one time, you are a very arrogant individual to think that you know for sure you're going to heaven. And I said, no. I said, I used to believe I could earn my way there. And I brought that topic up for a reason. Because most people believe they can earn their way there. And I said, talk about arrogance. Arrogance is thinking that I can be a good enough person on my own to get myself to heaven. But it's faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he has done alone is the reason why I feel I'm going to go to heaven. I believe I'm going to go to heaven because of my faith in Christ. All right? We all should tonight have that, understand that. We should be there. Amen? If you do not get that, if you do not understand what I just said, please talk to one of the men, the pastor son here. Talk to somebody, all right? Ask them. If you ask pretty well anybody in the auditorium here this evening, how can you know for sure you go to heaven? They'll have somebody they can point you to help you know, all right? Okay. And a lady with a lady, a man with a man, it's very important that you understand that and you know that, all right? But I believe most of you here tonight got that. You understand that, all right? Let's go on now. Verse number 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, right, which we understand, which is by faith, all right? So I received the Spirit by faith. Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So he's saying here now, are you dumb enough to believe that you could not do one thing, you could not work your way to heaven, but now that you're saved, you can do it on your own. You can do your good works in the flesh, that you can handle it by yourself. And then you're going to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You are going to discipline yourself. Now, I agree with certain things that we need to do for discipline, right? You get a journal and you start making notes as you read your Bible and you have a place that you set aside and all that stuff. These are good disciplines to have in our life, but we can't just say Rick Russ is going to discipline himself to be a great spiritual Christian leader. Okay, I cannot do that. All right, now again, there's some things that I can work at and do, led by the Spirit of God as he leads and burdens my heart to do certain things. For example, doing what I do now. I used to pastor like your pastor. Your pastor does not have to worry about where his house is going to be parked next week. I have to worry about that, all right? We're getting ready to move again, all right, to a town called Jamal, California. Anybody know where that is? You're San Diego, all right? It's middle of nowhere where I'm parking. But anyhow, mountains all around us, no cell phone signal. But anyhow, that's where I'm going next. And, you know, these things, I have to plan them, all right? But again, it's all based on the Spirit of God leading, guiding, and directing in my life. And then as the Spirit of God leads and guides and directs my life, I do need to, by faith, trust him. And so I know I need to be in San Diego. I got some churches to be at there. I need to, by faith, get there and go minister in those churches by putting my faith and dependence upon him. So I know there's some structure. I know there's some organization that needs to be done. But ultimately, it comes down to one thing. If we're going to accomplish anything great for God, It's going to be by faith. It's going to be through the Spirit of God, faith in Him, that we're going to accomplish something, not ourselves. But again, we all understand this, right? At age 16, I repented of my sins and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was placed in Christ. The Bible now says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am to do this, my salvation by faith, and I am to do my sanctification by faith. It can't be by works. He says, are you so foolish? Are you so crazy in your head to believe that you can now, you couldn't get yourself saved, but now that you're saved, you can grow in grace in your own power, in your own strength, and in your own ability? No. Every step of the way, I need to put my faith and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, asking for His power, asking for His enablement. Does that mean I'm not going to stumble and fall? Of course not. I'm going to fall. Why? I am a sinner. I have a sin nature within me. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. But by faith, I can get back up and go on. Listen, young people, talk to some of the old folks here at the church that have served God for a while. And I remember one time I heard somebody say, boy, I wish I had a marriage like theirs. And inside, I kind of laughed. And the reason I laughed was I knew what their marriage had been like over the years. There was a time where that man that they were referring to showed up at home and his luggage was on the front porch and the front door was locked. They didn't know that part of the story. They didn't know about all of the growing and changing that took place over the 50 years of marriage. And they now see the end result. And how did they get to that end result? By allowing God to help them grow and change and get back up when they have fallen. And in the ministry and in serving God and in serving in your local church, how many times have you served in this local church and thought, I'm not going to go soul winning as faithfully as I used to. I'm not going to attend the services as faithfully as I used to. I'm not going to read my Bible as faithfully as I used to. How many times have we thought that? And maybe even sometimes implemented it, but then had to get back up and keep going. Because by faith, we got to realize I got to go. Jesus has a plan for me. Jesus has a purpose for me. Jesus wants to use me. Jesus has a part of this world that He's trying to reach. A part of that is by using me, working through me. And I just had to believe that by faith. You know, we joke, we're so many places. We get up some mornings and have to think, where are we today? All right, how many of you have had to wake up in the morning and say, what town am I in? Right? You don't have to do that. We've had to do that. And sometimes I think, what am I doing? Driving all over the place, going all over the place. And I preached in churches before. I couldn't even think of the pastor's name. All right? I couldn't even think of, you know, bless God, here in this community. All right? I couldn't even think of where I was. All right? I know I'm in Laverne, and it's nowhere near Shirley. I found that out. You guys don't have a clue what I just said, all right? You older ones do, all right? But it's just sometimes in your head you think, why? Why go on? Why keep going? Why do something? You got to believe by faith that God wants to work through you and accomplish something through you. Let's look at one last verse, verse number 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So, your pastor, is he serving here by works or by faith? When you look at these missionaries on the wall as they go to those countries, are they there by works or are they there by faith? You have several church members right now in the Philippines. Are they there by works or are they there by faith? And you think of all of the things that go around. Now, when I pastored in Toledo, I didn't travel the country and I didn't see a lot of the things that I get to see now. And it's exciting, some of the things I got to see. Now, I don't consider myself old, but I guess I'm older, okay? And I was starting to believe, are there going to be any young people pastoring churches today? When all of the pastors, like your pastor, pass off the scene, are there going to be anybody left to take over? And I was starting to wonder that. But you know what I've gotten to see as I've traveled this country? Praise God, there are many that are stepping up. I was in a city of Dayton, Ohio. And in Dayton, Ohio, it just happened in the last few years, six churches have been taken over by preachers in their early 30s. Every one of those preachers could preach in this pulpit. Amen? It's not like they're young people are coming in and changing off and all crazy things. There's some good young men coming up. And there's some things that are happening. And how is that happening? By faith. Men and women of God have stood up by faith and said, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to do what God would have me to do. And today we have to believe that Jesus Christ wants to build Lighthouse Baptist Church. Amen? That Jesus Christ wants to use you to reach the lost in this community. That Jesus Christ wants to use you to send missionaries around the world. That Jesus Christ wants to use this church to help reach new communities in this state and in this country and see this country won back to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen through the ballot box. I am all for voting. I believe we all should vote. I believe we should vote our Christian values, but that's not going to change this country. You know what will change? The people who run for office, as if we were to see these people come to know Christ as their Savior and see revival brought back to the United States of America, and as the Holy Spirit of God works through this land, we would see this nation come back on their knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, and great things can happen. And yes, that can happen today. How? If we have Christians, families, churches just like this one across this country that will by faith go on and do what God has called them to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can go through the motions. You can be faithful by being here every time. You can throw your offering in. You can say amen at the right points. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Jesus Christ said He will build His church. Are we going to believe that today? That we can put our faith and dependence in Almighty God and He would accomplish great things.